I'd like to call this meeting of the City Council of Rio Grande to order. We'll start with roll call.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Here.
Councilmember Arnold?
Here.
Councilmember Fellows?
Here.
And Mayor Pro Tem Costello and Mayor Farrar are absent tonight.
And I guess this is a point in which, in the absence of both the mayor and the vice mayor, we do need to select someone to run the meeting this evening.
Indeed. Pursuant to your procedural rules, you do.
Okay. So I'll entertain a motion for someone to run this meeting this evening.
I move that Jim Guthrie, Councilman Guthrie, chair the meeting.
Second that.
And we'll do this with a voicemail. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We'll move on then to the flag salute, which will be the representative from the Central Coast Masonic Lodge, followed by the invocation by Dr. Mayor Harnish with the Baha'i Faith.
Will you please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of our country? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
O God, make this assemblage radiant. Make the hearts merciful. Confer the bounties of the Holy Spirit. Endow them with a power from heaven. Bless them with heavenly minds. Increase their sincerity, so with all humility and contrition, they may turn to thy kingdom and be occupied with service to humanity. O kind Father, confer thy blessings. Consider not our shortcomings, and shelter us under thy protection. Thou art the powerful, thou art the giver, thou art the beneficent. Amen.
It's my understanding that due to another meeting commitment that the representative from the Masonic Lodge will pass on his opportunity to give us a report tonight on what they're doing. So we'll move on to item 5. There are no special presentations tonight. Move on to a agenda review. Move that all ordinance presented for introduction or adoption be read in title only and all further readings be waived.
So moved. Second.
Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We'll move on to the community comments and suggestions. This is for the community to speak on any items which are not on tonight's agenda.
Good evening. I'm Kamea Rod, owner of Chameleon at 415 East Branch and also a resident of the Arroyo Grande Village. And thank you for the opportunity to present some ideas and suggestions this evening. Back at the November 25th meeting of the City Council, I watched it on TV. Councilmember Chuck Fellows happened to mention in regards to the Scolari project that was being discussed at the time that Chameleon was a brave merchant at the end of the village. And at the same council session, I happened to read on the website the publication of the tourism study that had recently been conducted, and I was very disappointed with the items that were brought forth. They were missing a very, very important component, which is shopping. That's the whole reason, or a lot of the reason, why women visit any particular location. So that got me all fired up. And also, as I mentioned, the fireside chat that you council members recently did was fabulous. I hope the chamber arranges such a chat again in the future, because we got to realize what a great diverse background you council members have to contribute to our city. However, I also became aware of the fact that none of you really have any retail background. So that fired me up to call an emergency desperation meeting on December 15th at our store. I invited all of the council members. I invited many of the city directors. In fact, I think I invited all of the city directors, some members of the Chamber of Commerce, the Arroyo Grande Village Improvement Association, officers as well. And I was blessed to have Mayor Ferraro show up and also City Manager Steve Adams. And so I want to thank you for taking your time because I know it was at the last minute. It's during holidays. But it was very, very important to us because we feel very strongly that Chameleon is a strong tourist attraction at the end of the village, and we wanted you to be aware of it and what we are planning in the community, as well as having other merchants know about our business. But at that meeting, as well as showing what Chameleon does and why it is unique and special, I also presented to the attendees a list of a lot of suggestions. And the reason why I want to make them public tonight, and I will give you a copy so that each of you have one, is because I feel that our community has a lot of retirees, CEOs, former CEOs, former retail experts, people in our community that we can draw upon and get some suggestions and help for these dire economic times. So one of the suggestions, though, and I realize that you cannot vote or act or do anything, but I want to put it out there, one that is first and foremost important to me, and as we all know, JJ's Market has just recently closed, that further isolates Chameleon at the end of the village, and we know that it is the desire of the city, of the council, and all your actions and all your statements and votes that you do want to extend the village. But now we're isolated, and so I would like you to find a way to act as soon as possible on moving four potted trees from the village core down to our end of the street. This is really important to us. I know it doesn't seem like much to you, but women are attracted to flowers. That indicates that there's something else going down or something going on for pedestrian traffic. So I would like you to remove all legal obstacles, find out who the pots belong to. I've been asking for this for more than 3 years. We've been at the barn now going on our fourth year, and this is just a small gesture that you could do. It costs little or no money. By the way, all of these suggestions on the sheet of paper are with little or no money. Another thing that could be done very easily is we have an existing sign on, and I realize that many of these suggestions could not have been done prior to the relinquishment of the highway of 227 to the city. But now there is an existing sign there that says the historic village of Arroyo Grande. The backside is not painted. That means any pedestrian walking, venturing beyond Mason Street, sees a blank, empty sign. And so there would be no reason why we couldn't paint the back of it and say Historic Village of Arroyo Grande. And by the way, in front of the Chameleon store is the railroad marker, and we get attendees at least once or twice a week, people that go specifically to Chameleon to see that marker and that historic place. Another thing was a business questionnaire. When the city gets business licenses from all businesses, it would be a wonderful time to really get a feel for what kind of businesses are in our community by asking them, what is unique about your business? What would you like the community to know about your business? And then what could we as the city do to help your business? And this would be an opportunity, a proactive opportunity for the council and the city staff to find out what's happening in the business community. The other thing coinciding with that is I would like to propose that council members visit at least two businesses a week for the rest of the year and make that part of an just the regular agenda on the city items. This way, businesses would know that they're going to get their 1 minute, 30 seconds of just a little report. Hey, I went into the Mari Robeson Design Store, and she's got a unique line of textiles. And it would be a wonderful chance for the members of the council to interact personally, and a wonderful gesture in these times to make the businesses feel like we're being heard. I have some other suggestions about scavenger hunts and so on and so forth. Planting lavender on the hill. We've talked all about Arroyo Grande in bloom, and yet this big strip of land that is so blatantly obvious for anybody going down the village. I don't know who it belongs to, whether it belongs to the city or it belongs to the de Blau property. It doesn't matter. It would cost $120 of lavender plants to plant a beautiful segment of that hill, and it would make it a tourist attraction in and of itself because we'd have all these different varieties of lavender. And it seems like, oh, well, why can't we do that? We're fighting for our life as a retailer at the end of the village. So even an expenditure of $120 is a lot of money when I think that we do have the resources in the community and the people that would like to volunteer or contribute or do something little like that. I hope you will consider some of the suggestions that I have here. And just in closing, I would like to say that as of 3 days ago, I came panicked to Rob Strong because I thought we would have to move out of our location. We had found another location in the village, luckily. But at the last minute, as of yesterday morning, our landlord, Adair and Trudy Brown, who graciously accepted our plea to lower our rent, and we are able to stay in the barn, and we feel that this is a wonderful gesture on their part, and I just wanted to publicly thank them for doing it because this building can't afford to be vacant. Thank you.
And to Kelly, she'll make copies for us.
Anyone else who would like to address the council on anything that is not on tonight's agenda? Okay, I'll close that portion. We'll move on to the consent agenda. This is a set of items that are generally accepted in the whole by the council, unless council members wish to pull one of them or two of them for special consideration and discussion. So at this point, I'll also open up another public comment period specific to items that are on the consent agenda. And it's my understanding there is someone here this evening that wanted to speak to one of the consent agenda items.
Thank you, Councilman. My name is Bob Carr. I live on Olive Street in Rio Grande. Lived here for 35 years. I am here tonight representing Breathe California Central Coast. We're a member of the local Tobacco Control Coalition, and we've been helping to promote smoking cessation and prevention throughout the county for some time, and we just wanted to make you aware that we were here and to thank you very much for the city's attention to these critical matters for our public, for especially for our youth, and encourage your support for the ordinance that is to be voted on tonight. Thank you.
Hello. My name is Amber. I'm with the Tobacco Control Program. I'm here just to thank you again for the ordinance that you're passing for the health of the community. And we have some thank you T-shirts for you guys I'd like to hand out. So, again, thank you for making your community healthier and set an example for the Central Coast. Thank you very much.
Thank you all very much. Are there any other additional comments on items on the consent agenda? All right. Thank you. All right. We'll then move on to the consent agenda. Are there any items that anyone would like to pull for special consideration or a vote?
No, I don't have anything.
Okay. Then I'll entertain a motion to adopt consent agenda items A through 8A through 8I.
So moved.
Second.
I think we have a motion and a second. We'll be ready to move on to the roll call right after Tim gives us some guidance here, I guess. Oh, you need to read the ordinance.
I did want to point out that item 8G is an ordinance. That's an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Arroyo Grande amending section 12.20.060 of the Arroyo Grande Municipal Code to ban smoking in city parks.
We have a motion and a second. If we could have a roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Arnold?
Yes.
Councilmember Fellows?
Yes.
And Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes. We'll move on to continued business. Item 10A, consideration of an agreement with the Oceano Community Service District for the temporary purchase of supplemental water.
going to 10A now?
No, did I skip?
We've got 9 first.
Did I skip one? All right. We'll move on to public hearing number 9A, consideration of an ordinance to amend the design guidelines and standards for historic districts to restrict design features for Spanish eclectic styles applicable to residential development in Village D2.4 Historic Character Overlay District. Thanks.
Good evening, council members. This item tonight is before you as directed back in October when the council approved several additional design guidelines and standards addressing mass scale and bulk in the village for residences in the village historic character overlay district. The council directed staff to go back and relook at some potential additional restrictions concerning the Spanish eclectic architectural style. Just as a refresher, this proposal tonight is an ordinance that would be applicable to what we call the Historic Character Overlay District D2.4. These are residential areas in the vicinity of the village, as shown on the map in orange and hatched orange. Staff identified several issues. These were essentially issues that were brought forward when we're going through the mansionization issues and the bulk and scale issues last fall. Spanish eclectic design is a design we see coming forward fairly often. We have seen some issues with homes in design review that come in with this style. The question posed was, will the proliferation of this particular style change the character of the historic area in the village? Additionally, what we've seen was that the existing Spanish eclectic homes vary, and we have identified the actual style and the design guidelines and standards. The question was posed as we were going through the process, what exactly would this be applicable to if we further restrict this style? Would that mean that existing Spanish eclectic homes could be remodeled? And the answer would be yes. Here are some what staff thought were good examples of Spanish eclectic design that are currently existing in the village. In discussions at Architectural Review and Planning Commission, it's acknowledged that it is one of the 6 designs that does make up the fabric of the historic area, and it's really the modernization of the style that's been presenting problems. Essentially, the proposal tonight before you continues to allow applications of new homes for in the Spanish eclectic style. It essentially elevates the review process to a conditional use permit. This would mean a public hearing before the Planning Commission instead of the minor use permit process, which is a recommendation by Architectural Review to the Community Development Director. So last October, when the City Council made recommendations and modifications to design guidelines and standards, some of which were particular to the Spanish eclectic style, those are in the standards and are in place and would continue to be in place. The only real change is that a new structure, new residence, would be subject to a CUP. Remodels to existing Spanish eclectic style homes would be continued to be processed through a minor use permit process. Specifically, the proposal modifies language in the design guidelines and standards in 3 different places. On page 17, when it describes architectural styles, there's a note specific to the Spanish eclectic style to use a recently amended guidelines as a guide, and notes that any new home construction would be subject to a CUP. this language is just then repeated in three different places in the design guidelines. And essentially, that's the proposal before you tonight. The recommendation is to introduce an ordinance to amend the design guidelines and standards specific to the historic character overlay district. This is for residences only. It would not apply to mixed use or commercial buildings. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Let's start with Chuck.
Yeah, question. Teresa, picture's worth a thousand words. Are you considering putting some photos of acceptable Spanish eclectic homes in the village, like you showed us on the screen, in the design guidelines?
There is a sketch currently in the design guidelines and standards. We could put some photos. The question would be then to use photos of existing homes in the village, as you see here, or we can just get it a generic photo, as you see here. It's just a matter of finding one that everybody agrees is a great example of Spanish eclectic style. So if you come to a consensus on that this evening, if you're in any of the four pictures may suit that purpose, we'd be happy to put it in the design guidelines.
The only problem that my major problem that I'm having here, one is the fee. We are now, I guess I'm looking at this is we have the ARC that's, I guess, allowed homes that really aren't Spanish eclectic to be approved. They're stucco homes. And now we're going to penalize those who basically are doing it right with a $3,400 fee. Was there any discussion to either waive that fee, have a modified fee, call it something other than a CUP? I don't know. Something to basically, I understand we want to have maybe an elevated level of review here, bring it to the Planning Commission, have a public hearing, but I guess I don't see why we would want to make the style a punitive style.
And the discussion in the Architectural Review Committee considered, additional cost and time that would occur in processing a design review permit and specific to this style. And really, the proposal at the ARC level was just to not accept new applications for new homes in the Spanish eclectic style. The ARC discussed the fact that, yes, there's potentially folks out there who would really give us a good, a great product, a good example of a Spanish eclectic style similar to what you see on the screen. The decision to go forward with an alternative that does include additional cost and effort was really to send a message that we're concerned with the style here in the village. You're going to get a lot of scrutiny about it. You're going to have to really want it to process it. And I think that was the intent behind pursuing this alternative.
But I guess with that, what you just said there, just that the whole process by itself is a whole other level of time and review. And so I guess is the cost, it seems punitive to me, and that's the problem I'm having here.
Right, and there is kind of two different conditional use permit costs. This is a lower one, but the costs have recently been raised. We're talking about $3,400 just to process this. The council can, decide to, waive certain fees. However, it is the cost, it is staff trying to recoup costs for processing a permit. And every conditional use permit requires going through ARC, sometimes staff advisory, ARC, Planning Commission, public hearings, post, noticing. And it simply is the cost that was revealed through our, fee studies that's basically covers a portion of all that staff time and effort and public hearings. So if we do the work, we need to charge the fee.
That's all.
That was my
my question as well. We'll then move on to the public hearing portion of this. Is there anyone here who would like to speak to this item? I'll open the public hearing. Anyone who'd like to speak to this item, please come to the podium, identify yourself, and give us your comments. I'll close the public comment and bring it back to council for comments. I'm going to go and start with you, Ed.
Thank you. Well, as I kind of mentioned when we were going through this before, I had a real problem with singling this out because of the fact that I do think the ARC unfortunately hasn't done their job, and staff hasn't as well on certain homes that have been approved in the village. And so now we're taking it to a whole another level of extremity. So I can support this tonight, but I can't support it with the fee. I could potentially support, and I understand we're trying to recoup our costs here, but I think that had we been doing our job before, we wouldn't be here today. So I don't see this as, I mean, it's already going to be punitive, the amount of time it's going to take and the new level of not knowing if you're going to get it approved or not. Now you're going to have a whole other level of uncertainty. So I think that's going to scare away people to begin with. But if they're willing to do it, hopefully they will get good guidance at the staff level so that, you know, what comes forward will be a quality home. I look back at the Kotchaks, you know, which brought so much of this to the heads. That was an excellent example of Spanish eclectic. So I am very wary of the subjectiveness that even a public hearing is going to bring to this process because we don't have any additional definition. I would have no problems with some quality photos. I think there are some great examples of homes in the village that could be used. Not that we want to recreate every home that's there, but so with that said, I mean, I'd be willing to look at maybe, you know, whatever the cost is for noticing and such to include that but I'm thinking something in the range of maybe $500 or less would be a reasonable fee. Anything more than that, I just think is getting more punitive. So thank you.
I agree with Ed on a couple of points, but I do think that we need to recoup our costs, because especially during these kind of trying times. The problem, I think, for instance, with what was approved for the Kotchaks is what will we end up getting? That's the problem. And I understand there's a problem with following up with conditions of approval. We still have to solve that problem and make sure that what's required by ARC and the Planning Commission and perhaps added by the council is what we actually get. And I know the city managers have been working on a way to do that over the last few months or maybe the last year. So who knows if we'll get a good Spanish eclectic from the Kotchaks. The thing about requiring the CUP process is, as I understand it from reading the notes that we've seen before and again the minutes from the meetings of the ARC and the planning Commission, is that a number of people on ARC said, let's just make it simple. We've got too many people creating and building faux Spanish eclectic, which turn out, as Ed said, to be a stucco box. And it really harms the charm and character of the village that everybody, or pretty much everybody, wants to preserve. So the quick answer, I think, from the chair of the ARC was, let's just eliminate Spanish eclectic. And a few other people agreed, and I think luckily we have two architects on the Architecture Review Committee. As I recall, one of them said, let's just eliminate Spanish eclectic. But the other one said, no, let's be a little bit more open to Spanish eclectic. We'll get a few, perhaps. We don't have that many vacant lots left. But we really should keep it in there, but make somebody really want to do a good job. And that's the reason for the conditional use permit process. And then, of course, I think we need to recoup our costs. So I can support this as proposed. I really would like to see examples, as Ed mentioned, of Spanish eclectic homes in our village. If somebody wants to use those as an inspiration for a new Spanish eclectic or remodel, it should be something from our village. There are great examples in Ojai and San Luis Obispo, but those may be a little bit fancier, a little bit larger. I think the example should be from the village here. So I can support it as proposed with some good color photos. I think perhaps four on a page included in the design guidelines. Thank you.
Well, I guess I'll start with the fee. I think when we look back at the process before that, that Councilman Arnold felt that the applicants didn't get enough feedback is actually part of the process. If this is a special thing, it's going to require a significant more amount of staff time to accomplish. If we want that kind of review, and apparently this needs that kind of review in order to identify the kind of quality of Spanish Heck Electric that we're looking for, I think it is going to take that much review. I think speaking to Chuck's comments that getting the specificity that we need going forward, we probably do need that much review so that when it actually gets built, people are looking and saying, this is what you're building, or this isn't what was approved, so that, in fact, we have the opportunity down the road. So I think that we're going to have to do the fee. I wish there was some middle ground. But when you start going through this many review processes, that's what it costs. That's what it costs to write all these things up and attend those meetings and push that through. And for this kind, apparently, we do need that much review. I'm sometimes wonder if we don't need that much review for everything in the village, because that is some other kind of – this is one of the problems I have with all of – we name all of these architectural styles, but I swear we just make them up. We just pick worms out of the dictionary. I know that it means something to architects, but it really doesn't mean a lot to me. At any rate, I think that we do have that much review in order to guarantee that we're going to get the product we want. I do certainly agree that we want the pictures. I almost wonder if we want pictures of what is not Spanish Heck Electric. Actually, I'm actually more concerned that someone walking around the village who sees one of these stucco boxes says, well, this is in the village, that's what I want, and it wouldn't be unreasonable to go pretty far down the path before someone stopped you. You were, you know, $6,000 into a design before someone said, yeah, I know that's in the village, but that's not okay. So I almost think you want the not okay as well. I don't know quite how you put that in design guidelines. Unless Councilman Arnold has a specific proposal for exactly what the new process would be and how it could be funded, I'm certainly in favor of moving forward with the recommendation as presented by staff tonight.
Well, I think for me that, and this has been a sore spot for me from probably day one, is Architectural Review Committee, as Councilman Fellows pointed out, has two architects on it. There probably should be five. I think if we had real architects on that committee, or designers minimum, I don't think it's a question of whether the Kotchok's home is going to turn out to be Spanish Eclectic. Those plans are very detailed. The specifications are called out. If they build the house that is designed, it will be a Spanish Eclectic home. There's no question there. It's not magic in that sense. And so the problem that I have is that homes that were not Spanish Eclectic, and had you've been able to read plans, and I think that's the problem that is occurring at that level, things are getting through that should not have gotten through. So basically, because, this is, not the happiest topic, but I don't feel that we have necessarily the people there that are doing their job, and so now we're going to raise it, and so we're going to charge people because we didn't do our job in the first spot. And so I'm not going to support a $34 fee. I think that we really should have architects there. And I've said that from day one. I've had two architects on the ARC, and I will continue to have an architect on the ARC. It's my policy. So with that said, I won't support the $34 fee tonight.
Okay.
Jim? Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Jim.
Your suggestion as to what we don't want, to me, might hurt somebody's feelings, especially if we use examples in the village that turned out to be stucco-covered framed homes with no detailing. I know what you mean, but I think it would be better to give four fine examples or six, whatever will fit on a page in the design guidelines. And, of course, there's an awful lot of explanation and vetting that will go on when the folks bring their plans in. And so I can support, as I mentioned earlier, I can support this introduction of the ordinance if you'd like me to make a motion at the appropriate time.
Let me just ask a question of counsel here real quick. Maybe you're going to tell me what I'm going to ask you, but it's my understanding that any action tonight would require a 3-0 vote. Is that correct? To pass.
Well, certainly on an ordinance or a resolution, but on this item, yes. Under Government Code Section 36.936, it would require 3 votes.
Okay. based on that and based on this discussion, I'm actually going to suggest that we would continue this to when we have a full council.
You're
going to comment on it?
Well, we had kind of an unusual procedural thing on the agenda this time. Since we didn't meet the public hearing requirements, it's actually agendized for the next meeting as a public hearing item. The expectation was it would be introduced this evening and it would come back and the public hearing would be for the adoption. But since that's already in place, one option is just to not take action this evening. It'll automatically come back as a public hearing at the next meeting. The next meeting or the meeting after? Okay, next meeting.
You know, alternatively, just for the benefit of the public, well, they know now, you can continue it to the next meeting and you'd get the same result. I mean, it has been noticed. That action would require only two votes.
I can support continuing it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think continue is probably the right answer. Just so procedurally, that means it ends up being introduced next meeting and would actually then second reading would be the next meeting after that.
Right.
It's just that the next meeting will be a public hearing instead of a consent agenda?
That's correct.
Okay.
So are we looking at track 1998 next meeting? Could be a very, very long meeting.
Yes, you are.
Well, I'm inclined to move introducing the ordinance now, if it'll make it speed the process along and make it a shorter that section of the meeting next time shorter. If that's what it would actually do, if we introduce the ordinance.
Well, if it was successful,
we can't though. Did you say we can't?
You can, but you'll need three votes to do it, and it sounds like that's probably not on the horizon tonight.
Well, then I move we continue this until the next meeting.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second to continue the item to the next council meeting. What's the date? 27th, which would be January 27th for the public's information. We have a motion and a second. We have a roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Fellows?
Yes.
Councilmember Arnold?
Yes.
And Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes. Now we will move on to continued business item consideration.
I'd like to ask a question. So then we can have the example photographs laid out for the next meeting. Thank you. Thanks, Jim.
We'll now move on to continued business item 10A, consideration of agreement with the Oceano Community Service District for the temporary purchase of supplemental water. You're up on that, Steve.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members, or Mr.
Whatever.
Council member,
yeah, whatever, yeah.
Acting pro tem. Okay, you threw me off already. And members of the council. In August 2005, the city entered into a two-year temporary water purchase agreement with the Oceana Community Services District, in which we were able to purchase up to 100 acre feet of water per year as necessary. Under that agreement, the city was required only to purchase only to pay for water that it actually utilized, and since the city's water utilization during that period remained within our allocation, no water was actually purchased under that agreement. Now, since that time, and in response to council's direction, staff has been attempting to negotiate a new agreement, and we have reached agreement. I'm pleased to present to you this evening for your consideration a new agreement that has been approved by the OCSD Board of Directors. Now, under the terms of the new agreement, the city would purchase 100 acre feet of water per year for a five-year period. Unlike the prior agreement, however, this agreement would be one that is referred to as a take-or-pay agreement, which means that the city would be required to pay the full amount or the amount for the full amount of water, whether or not it is used. The OCSD would have the authority at any time to determine whether the water is actually derived from Lopez or from groundwater. The cost of Lopez water would be 105% of their actual cost for that water. The cost for groundwater would be that same amount, minus $275 per acre foot, to cover the cost of treatment and pumping that would be involved with the groundwater. It's estimated the total cost of the agreement to the city would be about $128,000 per year, which is being incorporated into our ongoing rate study at this time. Now, as you know, this agreement is very important to the city, given that the city used close to 100% of its water allocation this past year. The primary purpose of the agreement is to provide additional time to develop other long-term water sources. Studies are underway right now on desalination, raising the spillway at Lopez, recycled water, and state water, the results of which will be presented to the council later this year. As you also know, a number of short-term measures are being implemented by the city designed to reduce usage and increase supply immediately, which include a variety of water conservation measures as well as new and enhanced city wells. So this time I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have, and approval of the agreement this evening is respectfully recommended.
Another question with that?
Steve, you mentioned an annual cost of $125,000. Was that for the 5 years? Because I'm just doing the math. $275 is the deduction. So okay. It's about $100,000 or $120,000, or $1,250 roughly per acre foot?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. That wasn't in our report here, so that's all I had. Thank you.
Yeah, Steve, I know you've worked very hard on this, and I'm not going to throw a monkey wrench into it, but explain to me again, take or use?
Take or pay.
Oh, I thought you said take or use.
Yeah. And that's a very typical agreement. Frankly, the agreement we had before was very beneficial to our interests, but is fairly unusual. And it was such a temporary measure, it was designed to help us out at that point. But since we're looking for a longer commitment, they proposed a take or pay, which just means that we agree to purchase a certain amount of water, and each year we purchase that water, but whether or not we actually need to draw it down or use it, we still have to pay that amount. But it's really probably the best way to look at it is in terms of fairness and where they're coming from, is whether it be Lopez water or state water, they have a significant investment. All that water is on a take-or-pay basis. So they continue. The reason we're able to negotiate this is, at least at this point, they have excess water, and that's because year after year, they've been having to invest in the state water and Lopez water, which is more than they need. And so they're just – the way this is set up to be a win-win is – we get a buffer of water to meet our needs, and then they get a little reduction in those costs that they're currently paying for and not using either.
Steve, but didn't you say that we haven't used any of that water that we had available to us so far?
Back in the 2005 agreement, we didn't. Now we're at the point where we're likely to use at least some of it because we're right up to the 100% level. And as a few new projects potentially could come online this year, you know, the hotel's about to open. As you know, we're also implementing conservation measures and trying to enhance some wells and do some other things. So that could potentially hold that off. But we're expecting to go over 100% at some point, and that's why this is so important for us.
It's so important because there is no other option open to us other than to use more than our allotment, which we can't do based on our agreement.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, we're hoping that there will be other options in the future, but that's the purpose of this temporary agreement, to give us a little more time to develop those sources.
Thank you. Yeah, I just had two questions. One is, there was some comments in here about how we would pay for this. Are we agreeing to that tonight, or is that going to come back to us for how – there's a comment about there would be a 4% raise to the – in the rate – a 4% rate increase – or we could use some of the monies from the season preparing water to reduce the impact on ratepayers option be considered involved restructuring the rates, one-time temporary use of the funds reserved for water availability improvements. Are we deciding that tonight, or is that just – okay.
Yeah, that –
because I have some specific comments on that, and I'll save them until it comes forward. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it wouldn't hurt to give us direction, but as I mentioned, those costs are being incorporated into our rate study. And so that rate study is determining some options to try to minimize the impact of those costs on the rates.
I guess my input then is that
is we have kind of the distinction between what I call a capital fund, which is the money that's been set aside for finding additional water, versus what I'll call an operational use. And this is really more of an it is additional water, but it's really more of an operational use because we don't have the water permanently. So I guess my concern is when we start spending this capital money that we've collected in order to increase our water availability, and we start spending it to subsidize the current ratepayers, that when we get to the end, it seems like this is always the case, we actually don't have enough money. In fact, we likely won't have any money. So I guess my direction would be to go away from that, and that really actual current water users should pay for all the current water.
Generally, I think that's the approach we'll be bringing forward. There is some kind of strange intricacies in how the rates are structured, particularly within the Lopez Fund. There's just the way they require the rates to be set. We found that some reserves that we think are really excess reserves have been created, and so that's a source we'd like to at least take a look at. The whole rate structure, we'll get into this when we bring the study back. It's gotten very complex. We'll probably have a whole variety of scenarios for you to look at in terms of which direction you want to go, because we're probably not looking at just rate increases, but a number of varieties of how we can restructure the rates, because you have the Lopez rate, you have the water rate, and then the sewer rates, and there's a whole number of varieties of, and some are based on consumption, others aren't, and it gets pretty interesting.
Any comments or questions?
No.
And then I'd be prepared for. I'm sorry. That's true. All right. Thanks. This is not a public hearing, but I will give the public the opportunity to speak on this evening. Is there anyone here who would like to speak to us on this item? All right. Thank you, then. We'll then move back here for.
I have just one comment.
Oh, absolutely. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say I'm looking at this as kind of almost like an insurance policy. I think that's probably the best way to look at it is we don't have an option if we go over 100. So right now we're covering it. So while, yes, if we don't actually use it, we can all look back and say, wow, I wish we didn't buy that, I guess. But the same thing if you don't have fire insurance and your home burns down, then you kind of wish you had it. So I have no problem supporting this tonight.
I can support it as well.
Then I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Temporary Mayor Pro Tem, I'd like to propose that the council consider or adopt an agreement with the Oceano Community Service District, OCSD, for temporary purchase of supplemental water.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and second. Can we have a roll call vote, please?
Councilmember Arnold?
Yes.
Councilmember Fellows? And Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes. We'll move on then to new business item, consideration of initiation of a planning effort for the city centennial celebration, item 11A. That was part of consent, wasn't it?
Sorry. I'll just begin by saying thank you, members of the council. As you're probably aware, the city of Aurora Grandy was incorporated on July 10th, 1911. Therefore, the city's centennial celebration is less than 2.5 years away. It is recommended that a major celebration be held, and staff believes that a 2-year planning time period would be necessary for a well-organized event. Therefore, it's recommended that the City Council initiate a planning effort at this time. Now, staff has done some initial research just based on celebrations held by a couple other cities. We have some preliminary ideas. However, our primary recommendation at this time is simply to recommend that the Council initiate a planning effort by forming a planning committee. Given the level of community involvement and pride in Aurora Grandy, staff expects that there will be a large number of individuals that will be interested in participating in this event. And therefore, it is in order to begin the process in an organized fashion, it's recommended that the City Council begin by forming a what we're referring to as a core planning group. that would consist of representatives from the council, staff, the Chamber of Commerce, the Village Improvement Association, South County Historical Society, and Aurora Grandy and Bloom. Once the core planning group met, then they could determine how best to expand the planning efforts. It's recommended that they consider developing a larger general planning group and then forming some subcommittees to focus on specific activities and functions. It's also recommended that all local service organizations and community organizations be asked to participate. And while it's recommended that the final plans be presented to the council for a formal approval, but it's also proposed that the planning group remain a community group and not a formal appointed city committee. The one of the functions of the core planning group will be to develop a budget for the event. However, as I mentioned, staff has developed some initial ideas that involve a projected budgeting goal of approximately $60,000. Our thought was that approximately $10,000 of that could be seed money from the city, the remainder of the funds being raised from a number of fundraisers, sponsorships of street banners, major sponsors, and a request to the county for funding assistance. Initial ideas for the event include primarily closing off East Branch Street for a day-long celebration event, include music, entertainment, food, booths, activities, historical society displays and reenactments, some presentations, a community photograph, a time capsule, and then finish off the day with a fireworks show. But anyways, those are just initial thoughts for the planning group to utilize as they move forward. So at this time, our recommendation is for council to direct staff to move forward in forming a core planning group with representatives from the groups that I outlined earlier, and then to also find out if there is interest on the part of members of the council to participate. I did talk to Mayor Ferrara, and he expressed strong interest in participating. And I also talked to Mayor Pro Tem Costello, who said he was interested, but he also told me to let you know if there was others that were interested, he was fine with going along with whatever the group decided. So he seemed to be fine either way.
Any questions for Steve on this side? Well, again, this is not a public hearing item, and doesn't appear to be much public here, but I'll open it up to any members of the public who'd like to comment on it. Be good practice. Okay. Then I'll bring it back to council for comment. Would you go ahead and start it?
Okay.
Because I'm looking left.
Yeah. I could definitely support this tonight. I have no problems. I would say the mayor should be on the committee. I would say we might want to hold off on the other nomination. I had actually the one told Steve that I thought that Councilman Costello has expressed a lot of interest in the past. So unless there's a burning desire from someone else, I guess we could just go ahead and decide it tonight, because I know he really would like to do it. So, and I would have no problem with him doing it.
It's kind of tradition, isn't it, to actually nominate people and
when they're not here?
When they're not here.
Then I think we should continue with tradition. Then.
Is that a motion?
Sets a good precedent in the future
okay,
for people that miss meetings.
All right, then I will propose that we start the core group for the planning effort of the city centennial celebration, and that we nominate the mayor and the mayor pro tem as our council representatives.
I'll second the motion. Did you mention both these items that are on the recommendation?
Did I cover those?
Okay.
All righty.
Motion a second. If we can have a roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Arnold?
Yes.
Councilmember Fellows?
Yes.
And Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
In closing on that item, I forgot to mention it in my presentation, but we'll certainly be hopeful to get participation from all members of the council in the in the event, but I think there will be a number of opportunities that we'll want to get you involved in.
We'll move on then to city council members' items. Any council members have any items this evening? Move on to the city manager items.
None this evening, sir.
And are there any council communications this evening? We'll run along then to any staff communications.
No, sir.
All right. We'll move on to our second community comments and suggestion period. Is anyone in the public who would like to address us on items, including items that are on the agenda tonight? Seeing none, I'll close that. And that brings us to adjournment.
So moved.
All right. Thank you.
Fine job.
Nice job.
All right. Good enough, anyway.
You're so smooth.
That's right. At some point, I want to talk to you about the adult supervisor thing.
Okay.
Okay. A little help. Don't forget.